Good morning. I can't do it. Being a Christian, I can't do it. Being an elder, I can't do it. To be a husband and a father that I should, I can't do it. To be a brother, a counselor, a landlord, or whatever you want to add to that, I can't do it. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like you just can't do it? Sometimes life seems like it's just too heavy, too much. We're broken. We're tired. Tired of the battle and the grind. We're physically drained, we're mentally and emotionally taxed beyond our limits. And our soul is heavy with our sins and the sins that we see around us. In 2 Peter 2 and 7, it says that Lot, who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed, was vexed in his soul with the sins going on around him. There must have been times that Lot said, I can't do this. I can't do it. Sometimes the damage of sin vexes our souls as well. And sometimes I wonder where God's at. I thought he was supposed to be helping. In Psalms 44, starting in verse 23, it says, David says, Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. You ever have times when you feel that way? My soul is bowed down to the dust, and my belly cleaveth to the earth. I can't do it. Paul says in Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I know that's supposed to apply to me. But why is it that I feel I can't do it? Why can't I be like Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 8 through 9 and 16 through 18, when he says, We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, Paul was certainly right about that. I don't see it. I often don't see it. He says his inward man was renewed day by day. When's the last time you felt renewed day by day? And I don't know about light affliction. I don't want to see heavy affliction. So I'm all tied in knots, which is no revelation to the rest of you. It's obvious. Worrying, trying to go faster and faster and faster to catch everything that's running from you, to take care of everything. It gets frustrating. It gets, maybe even get angry and short-tempered. But most of all, I get tired and depressed, trying to make everything right. And finally, you're just tempted to just give up and try to quit caring. Then I hear Christ saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11:28-30. Well, how come if I'm trying to be a Christian and trying to be what God wants me to be, am I so stressed and so anxious and so tired? I'm feeling the heavy laden, but I'm not feeling much rest. I can feel the weight of the yoke on my shoulders, but it isn't light, and it certainly isn't easy. Where is God when I need Him? I know that God tells me worry and anxiety is a sin, but how am I supposed to handle all this? How am I supposed to do it? I don't see Him helping me. I feel like I'm struggling alone. Am I out of God's reach? Can He not reach me? Is God ran out of power? Is He asleep? Does He just not care? Yeah, I know He sent Christ to die for my sins. We just talked about that. But is He paying attention or caring that I'm drowning? Sometimes I'm like the apostles on the ship in the middle of a storm. I just want to go shake Jesus and say, "Don't you care?" God has been trying to show me that when I say I can't do it, what I mean is I can't do it alone. Boy, that's hard to admit, isn't it? Ever since we were old enough to put the words together, we've been saying, "I want to do it myself, and I want to do it my way." I feel alone because I don't feel confident in my ability. There isn't enough time to do it all myself. And I think that if I don't do it and I don't get it done when I think it should be done and how I think it should be done, then it just won't get done. I feel a need to control it all. And yet I know I can't. That's the reason I'm in a panic sometimes. I'm trying to catch it all, knowing full well I can't. sounds crazy. Oftentimes, it may be even things that I think God has asked me to do. I believe that God has asked me to do. And I know I can't. Very frustrating. So what is wrong? What is wrong with this? There are two possible reasons why I can't do it. One is, God never intended me to do it. If God doesn't intend for me to do something, I'm pretty sure I'm going to fail. Doug talked about Moses last week. Moses' life was a life of this struggle, which is no different for us. But Moses, when he was a young man, about 40, decided that, I know why God put me here. I'm supposed to save the children, my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I'm supposed to get them out of here so they aren't slaves anymore. I'm going to rescue them. That's why God put me here. And he went about to do that. And he went about to do that with some zeal, didn't he? He was pumped. Full of hot air. He went out and attacked an Egyptian, killed him because he was beating an Israelite, one of his brethren. But then his brethren didn't accept him. Who are you? Spoiled brat. You going to save us? And all that hot air went right out of Moses. And he took off. Why did Moses fail? Because God never intended him to do that then. Moses was on his own time schedule. God never intended it. That's why he failed. What about the Apostle Paul? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, Paul says that lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. He asked the Lord three times to take this away from him. This thorn, whatever it was a burden to him. He felt the burden of it. I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Why couldn't Paul be healed? He really wanted it. He earnestly believed that God could take it away from him. He prayed to God three times. He didn't quit. So why didn't he get rid of it? Because God didn't intend for him to get rid of it. That's why Paul couldn't get rid of his affliction. God never intended for him to get rid of it. Second reason, I can't do it. Is I'm trying to do it myself. So if I can't do it, it's because I'm trying to do it myself. If God intended for me to do it and I'm still failing, then maybe you're trying to do it yourself. You know, when the children of Israel sent the 12 spies into the land of Canaan to spy out the land, this was the land that God had promised for how many years? A lot of years. That he was going to give them. Give them. I missed that part. 12 spies went into the land of Canaan to spy it out, to see what they were going up against. 10 people, 10 of the spies came back. We can't do this. There's no way we can do this. These guys are huge. And they got walled cities. I mean, Jericho, they drive chariots around on the wall. How in the world are you ever going to get in there? We can't do it. And only two of the 12, Joshua and Caleb, said, "You're right. We can't do it alone. But we won't be alone. With God, we can do it." And what happened? Numbers 14, starting in verse 22. God says, "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it." God's response to the 12 spies. God's response to the 12 spies. You're both right. You're both right. Those who don't think you can go in and take it, guess what? You can't. And you're not going to. You're going to sit out here and wander in circles until you die. And Joshua and Caleb, you're right. You can't do it alone. And I'm going to take you in there and give it to you. As soon as we get rid of these. Caleb never let go of that knowledge. He never let go of that. He never forgot that he didn't have to fight and struggle alone. When he was 85 years old, he repeated it again. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14, 10 through 14. This is Caleb speaking. He's 85 years old. "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Caleb says, "If the Lord will let me, I'll take it. I will be able to drive them out if the Lord will be with me." Do you know who the Anakims were? Giants. 8-9 feet tall, maybe 10. Whole family of them. Okay. Caleb will be staring them right in the belly button. Okay? Right in the belly button. But he's new. He knew that if God said you can take it, he was going. He knew what John tells us in 1 John 4 and 4, many years later. John says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Caleb knew that. Caleb knew that. He had to, or he'd been insane for him to do what he did. But many people, maybe even all people, struggle with trying to navigate life alone, by themselves. You remember Peter kind of did this when he was following Christ. Christ says, "I'm going to go up to Jerusalem, and they're going to kill me." And Peter's like, "Oh, no, they're not. I'm not going to let them do it. You need to stop talking that way, Jesus. He says, I'll die for Jesus. I'll die for you. And then when the mob came to the garden to pick up Jesus, Peter felt the need to grab a sword and start whacking. Peter felt like Jesus was outnumbered. Peter felt like it was his responsibility. Jesus kept telling Peter, stop trying to do it by yourself. Jesus told Peter, are you feeling alone? Are you feeling outnumbered? Listen, we're not outnumbered. I can send for 12 legions of angels and they'd be here right now. Now why he would need 12 legions, I don't know. I don't know why he'd need any. Maybe that was for Peter's benefit. He needed to hear a higher number. And I think that's what Christ is telling you and I. He wants us to realize that I can't do it alone. Not I can't do some of it alone. Not I can do parts of it alone, but the rest of it I can't do. We like to compartmentalize our lives and build two columns. The things I can do and the things I can't do. I have trouble making that list. Everything I start to write on the things I can do, well, can't do that. Can you think of anything that you can do alone? Anything you can do alone? You know, we have living wills that we tell the doctors to not put us on, I think this is the right word, respirator, to not put us on a respirator if we can't breathe on our own. When did you start breathing on your own? Have you ever breathed on your own? I don't know about you, but I don't most of the time have to think about it. Sometimes I do, and I get all screwed up. Most of the time I don't have to think about breathing because God designed me to breathe when I need to breathe. It's always kind of funny sometimes when I'm working with people and maybe they're afraid that they're going to pass out because you screw your breathing up sometimes and you don't get enough breath and therefore they're going to pass out. And usually the answer the thing after that is, and if I pass out, then I'm going to die. No, you won't. As soon as you pass out, you'll quit thinking about it and your body will take over and breathe again. You'll wake up in a minute. So is there anything you can do alone? Is there anything you can do alone? So while I'm running around like a chicken with its head cut off, like a juggler trying to keep all the plates spinning so they don't fall, occasionally asking for God's help but not really making room for him to help, and getting frustrated, maybe being angry at God, because it doesn't seem like he's helping, all that time he's carrying me. He's carrying me in his arms. It's like a person paralyzed from the waist down, yelling and smacking the side of the head of the person carrying him. Angry because they won't put them down, let them walk by themselves. That must be how ridiculous it looks to God. You know, the atheist breathes oxygen from God's tank. He eats food from God's garden and enjoys the beauty of God's creation while denying God even exists. Oftentimes, I'm afraid that Christians breathe oxygen from God's tank, eat food from God's garden, and enjoy the beauties of God's creation, and talk about how much love God has for them, and about the home Christ has gone to prepare for them, and then worries about how he's going to provide for himself, pay his heat bills, cope with the stressors of life. That must be why worrying is a sin. To worry is to accuse God, the one carrying you, of not being trustworthy. Have you ever had someone you loved and would do anything for you tell you, "I don't trust you"? That hurts. So sure, God might have carried me through the past. He might have carried me to here, but what if he quits? What if he stops? What if I sin one too many times and he says, "I'm done with you"? Or I worry one too many times and he said, "I'm sick of trying to convince you"? What if I make him angry? You know, as I was writing this, it struck me, that sounds like what the people who worship the idols said. What if I make him mad? What if I don't give him what he wants? He's going to squish me. False gods constantly need appeasing, or they're going to come and destroy us. But not our God. Well, what if I don't bear him enough fruit? What if I don't bear him enough fruit? I want you to turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'm going to have to speed up here. Verses 1 through 8. Here Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." That's exactly what I'm worried about. Whether I'm going to be bearing fruit. And am I bearing enough fruit? But keep reading. "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father," whoops, there it is, "herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Did you get that last verse? My Father is glorified by much fruit. But he just said in verse 4 that I can't bear fruit at all. That's right. You and I can't even stay alive without the vine. We're branches. We can't even stay alive without the vine, much less bear fruit. The fruit is not to be for our credit. It's not for our glorification. It's to the Father's glory that we bear fruit. And that might be why I can't do it. That might be why I'm losing my hair. That might be why I'm tied in knots. I don't chew fingernails, fortunately. That might be why my burden is heavy, and I'm just ready to quit trying to keep up. That might be why I'm afraid I'm going to drown. Because I've forgotten that Jesus is the one that has made it possible for me to breathe for 46 years. Never mind drowning. In Psalms 103, starting verse 13, David says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, and as the flowers of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." God knows. Do you struggle like I do with being weak and admitting it? Admitting I can't do it alone? Do you feel the burden of trying to take care of all the things that are demanding your time and attention? Do you feel the weight on your shoulders trying to be confident, trying to be positive about what you can do and handle every circumstance and problem that you encounter by yourself, wondering which one's going to expose that I can't? Which one is going to expose that I can't do it alone? Has your pride gotten heavy enough to break you yet? That's what that's talking about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23 through 27, Paul lists all the persecutions that he'd experienced, and there was a boatload of them. So wonder if this guy ever survived any of them. But let's pick up in verse 28 when it says, "Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Who is weak, and I am not weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended, and I burn not? For I must needs glory. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. How can the Apostle Paul say that? How can he admit that he's weak? I don't know about you, but I see Paul a pretty strong guy. How can he admit that he's weak? Why would he glory in his infirmities, his feebleness? Well, 1 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Do you want to be able to say we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed? We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man be renewed. There it is again, renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Are we having trouble being renewed day by day? I have. I always wonder what that was. Renewed day by day. Still waiting on it. Renewed day by day. Have you found rest into your soul? I read earlier, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So how do we get rid of this burden, this heavy yoke that I often feel around my neck, the stress and the strain of life and trying to do it alone? Are we ready to feel confident that we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth you? Are we ready to feel renewed day by day? Then we need to listen to Christ when he says, "One, without me, you can't do anything." We need to admit that. Admit that. Admit that you're weak. It's no secret to everybody else. Everybody else already knows. Admit it to yourself. Without Christ, I can do nothing. And number two, listen to Christ when he says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Luke 10:27. Admit you can't do it. Then give all of yourself to Christ, for him to use to his glory. And step three is in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. This was mentioned last Sunday night. In this story, there is a host of people camped around the city to siege it. We start in verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "How are we going to do it?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." I'm pretty sure it's just you and me here. No. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So admit you can't do it. Turn yourself over and then pray to God to open your eyes. Open your eyes so that you can see how God is sustaining and protecting and providing for you every moment of your life. You haven't been alone since you were conceived. David writes in Psalms 139 about how God knew us from our mother's womb. You haven't been alone since you've been conceived. Seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:27-28. In him we live and move and have our being. If you have not confessed that Jesus is the Christ who died for your sins, repented of your sins, and been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost for the remission of your sins, as he asked you to do, and risen to walk in a new life, then you need to know that God is carrying you now, even though you haven't accepted him. It may seem like you have everything under control, and you can take care of yourself. But if God stopped carrying you, you'd be dead. You can't do it alone. Whether you admit it or not is irrelevant as far as your ability, because you can't do it. Without God, you can do nothing. Why do you feel alone and vulnerable? Because there's all kinds of little hints along life that remind you that you just really can't take care of yourself. Little things that remind you that you're failing. Your stress is increasing. Your health is failing. You're running out of power. Why aren't you renewed day by day? Because you haven't surrendered. Because you haven't surrendered. You haven't admitted that you need God in Christ, and you haven't humbled yourself to submit to him. He's the only one that can lift you up to be with him. If you don't, eventually you're going to reach a point where God's going to stop carrying you. He's going to sadly say, "Okay, I'll quit." And you'll be completely alone, tormented in the fires of hell for eternity because you're too proud to let him love you. He wants to love you. He's caring for you now. He wants to spend eternity with you. If you have accepted him, and you've sinned publicly against him, you've hurt, or privately, either one, and hurt your relationship with him, he's still loving you and providing for you still. But you need to repent and come back to him. So the question is, will you and I surrender all to Christ, everything, so that we don't have to stand alone facing God in judgment? Will we quit trying to do it ourselves and let Him lift us up? Will we take His yoke that is easy and light? It's quite a relief after you've said, I can't do it, to know that you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to. Somebody a whole lot smarter, a whole lot more powerful, a whole lot wiser, and a lot more attentive than you has got it taken care of. You don't have to fight by yourself. He's taking care of you if you'll let Him. The invitation is yours as we stand and sing.